In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning. Blessed Pentecost. I was wondering if cats go to heaven the other day. I'm sure dogs do. The other reason I have thought of it is the Psalm 104. We often have conversations with the women inmates at prison when we're there for Bible study during the course of any given month. And some of them always like to talk about what their favorite psalm is. And so for me in this season of Pentecost, clearly it has to be Psalm 104 and the verse in particular. There move the ships, and there is the Leviathan which you have made for the sport of it. And I just am delighting and relishing that particular thought. There moves the Leviathan which you have made for the sport of it. The Hebrew, I'm told, could be translated in another way, equally. And there moves the Leviathan which you have made so you can sport with it. That is, God created the Leviathan to play. The Leviathan in history was not so much the whale or the beast, but it was this mystical sea creature in the deep that created chaos and was a threat. We've often thought of it as the Moby Dick Leviathan from Herman Melville days, but even so, the nature of it was sport, joy, fun. And there's so little of it in what goes on in the world, and particularly what some people think of religion, that we would have sport and fun with the topic of who God is for us. We're just so busy with things that bother us and annoy us, whether that's the things in the world happening around us or whether that's, say, people, or even ourselves, circumstance. So that the scriptures contain the plentiful nature of the Almighty, I think, is particularly a thing to consider as we think about the coming of the Holy Spirit on this day we celebrate, Pentecost Sunday, the 50th day of the great 50 days. Of celebrating the resurrection of Christ, leading to the coming of the Comforter, the Advocate, the Guide, who comes to be with us. One hopes that God chooses to be with us, like the Leviathan. If God can hang out with a whale for fun, wouldn't it be nice if God could be with us in similar fashion? But religion, philosophy, theology, the church, liturgy, worship is such serious business that we often don't give that idea of a playful God much space. But I think playfulness is an essential aspect of the mature life. When I start taking you seriously, or me, we're not going to get very far. Or if we're going to get very far, it's just not going to be a good journey. And I don't mean to be silly and superficial. That's not what playfulness and fun is. And anyone who knows about play and education and children, you know we're going to learn a lot more and teach much more when the students are engaged in enjoying the task. We know that here with the transformation and the change of our formation program. In confirmation class, which has sort of had false starts and stops because we finally have a bishop coming and all saints, on the day of November 1st, Friday evening, we started that conversation with our young students, going through the prayer book and doing with catechism and looking at texts. And it just got to be so dead, they just stopped thinking and talking and listening and gathering. But when we asked them to say, what's your favorite prayer? Find one. And that prayer might be a pastime or an occupation or a spiritual tool that might be meaningful and enjoyable rather than duty, you get a little bit further. When religion becomes obligation, it's the same thing as saying, well, my friendship with you is just work. So on this day, let's think about the Leviathan which God has made for the sport of it. If we think of the larger vastness, profound nature of who the Creator is, the nature of God loving us so much to be part with us in our journey through Jesus the Christ, and that we would not be left alone after giving us an example, after providing for us that fullest of all sacrifices, and that we would be given a guide for our lives to manage what becomes of us through this earthly pilgrimage, one would hope that God would leave us light, joy, possibility, playfulness. When we have to make decisions, when we struggle with choices, when we have relationships that are particularly necessary, when work is just not as fulfilling as we thought it would be after all these years, and we go to the Holy Spirit and we pray, one of the great gifts of God through the Holy Spirit is that we are taken out of ourselves. We just take ourselves so seriously. Our problems are so overwhelming. People are so resistant to change. The issues of our bodies and our worlds and our relationships seem so intractable. One of the ways by which we can move forward is just to get ourselves out of the way, and the Holy Spirit lifts us up and we see the world differently than from our own lens. If it's up to you and to me, we're in trouble. And it's joyless. It's just a slog. But when someone comes and says to us, have you thought about it this way? Have you not considered you have the right, you don't have the right beat on things? You don't have all the information. You don't have all the vast experiences. Here's another way to consider it. Do you remember as a child when you first had that, you had the magnifying glass and it's a bright sunny day and you realized you could burn it. You could start a fire, you could burn a little hole in a dried leaf. Do you remember that? The concentrated light would come down, and it's a little black spot, and then there'd be a little smoke, and all of a sudden a little flame. That's where it started for me, Jack. There was hope for my problem with fire that I had. But you smelled the burnt leaf, right? I think if we all played with a magnifying glass as a child, we have some idea, but I think the Holy Spirit isn't just a magnifying glass, it's more like a prism, and you hold it up to a light, and we see the rainbow of colors, the opportunities, the things that we hadn't ever considered. And the opening up of possibility is fun. You know, it's not just about you and me. It's not just about the way we frame a problem, or look at a situation, or manage things, and it just seems like it's door one, two, or three when we're in a room without walls, which is the Christian life. Would someone remind me, I preach this sermon in a couple of weeks, because I'm just going to get stuck, and someone's going to send an email about, oh, the Pope wants to change the Lord's Prayer, what are you doing about that? Who gave him the idea? And by the way, we changed the Lord's Prayer back in 1976. You can see it in our prayer book. We have two versions. We still have a traditional one, but the traditional one was a wrong mistranslation of the Greek anyway. Lead us not into temptation was never in the Bible. It's a mistranslation of that Hebrew, so, and it are the Greek, so if, don't get upset about this thing. It was never right to begin with. At least in the English King James Version. Now, if you like it that way, knock yourself out. That's what we do. In our tradition, by the way, we sing the contemporary version. Have you noticed I did that? We say the quote-unquote traditional one, but we sing the contemporary version. So save us from the time of trial instead of lead us not into temptation. The Bible does not say lead us not into temptation in the original Greek. It says something else. And it only says that in Matthew's Gospel. You know, there are, just to remind you, 5 Gospels. Oh, come on, there's 4. I was checking. I was playing with you. No one wants to play today. So in Matthew, and the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew and in Luke, and they're different from each other, in case you haven't looked. Knock yourself out, have some fun, and look at the 2 versions of the Lord's Prayer. And the 2 phrases that seem to be in conflict are, lead us not into temptation, which is really, save us from the time of tribulation. Right? So don't get mad when things change. Play. So maybe that's a clue on this Pentecost about playfulness. How can we play better together? And this is the Holy Spirit. Do you have a problem? When you go to the Holy Spirit, expect the knock-knock joke. Now, I'm going to save that idea about God and knock-knock jokes for another Sunday. But I'm just going to conclude with this. The Holy Spirit would prefer us to laugh at ourselves and all the things in the middle of stuff that seems deadly serious. So we pray that the Holy Spirit would lift us up, not so we can ignore it, but that God might define what victory is, God might define what hope is, God might define what the answers are for us, God might define how we can be in relationship with each other, God might define what the purpose of the church is, God might define what it is I'm talking about on any given Sunday. Allow the Holy Spirit to be a hilarious presence in our lives. Because if God could play with a whale, I'm hoping God can play with us too.